It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, April 2nd, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And well, the NFL annual meetings have wrapped up as Roger Goodell gave his meeting-ending speech on Tuesday, and we've now heard from Howie, Nick, and Jeffrey Lurie, who all spoke over the last few days. So we got a lot to get into today. We're going to talk about what Jeffrey Lurie had to say. As you know, In Your Podcast Feed is already a podcast breaking down everything Nick Sirianni had to say. But the big news on Tuesday at the Breakers in Florida was, of course, the Tush Push, the play that dominates conversation, feels like every NFL event. And good news, it's going to dominate another one, because on Tuesday, the NFL decided to table the vote, or I should say table the proposal put forward by the Green Bay Packers, the proposal that would ban the Tush Push. They decided not voting on it. What that means is, coming up in Minnesota, May 20th through 21st, at the, I believe they're the spring meetings is what they're called, the NFL will then decide whether or not, A, to vote on the Tush Push ban. And if they do vote, at that point, we will finally get a verdict on whether or not the Tush Push will be allowed to be called by, let's be real, pretty much only the Philadelphia Eagles in 2025. So, not the kind of day I think we're all anticipating. I think, you know, I mentioned it on the pod, but I think the expectation coming into the meetings is that there would be a vote. But it's clear over these past few days, the league, and by that I should say, the owners are torn on this. And according to reports, the vote on the Tush Push was 16 to 16. 16 teams voted for the Tush Push to be allowed next year. 16 teams voted against the Tush Push to have it banned. Now, as you know, the NFL, or you know, the competition committee, you need 24 votes for something to pass. So the anti-Tush Push side is 8 votes short of getting the play banned. And that means between now and May, they are going to spend time trying to convince other people, trying to convince both sides to change their mind and to get it so that there is a final resolution on what will happen with the Tush Push. So that is where we are at news-wise. And in addition, the competition committee spoke on Tuesday and talked about why they're here, why the play is being considered for being banned, And here's what competition committee co-chair Rich McKay, of the Atlanta Falcons had to say about the concerns with the play.
No, I wouldn't, because here's what I say. Again, there has been said, hey, there's not enough data, there's not enough proof of what the injuries might be on this play, from the forces, from going down. Is it different from a health and safety standpoint of a sneak versus a push sneak? There's not enough data. So I would say that there are definitely some people that have health and safety concerns, but there's just as many people that have football concerns. And then that was kind of what went on in the room in the discussion. So I wouldn't say it was because of one particular health and safety video or discussion. It was much more about the play, the aesthetics of the play. Is it part of what football has been traditionally, or is it more of a rugby play? All those types of discussions. Health and safety is still there because it's potential, but I wouldn't go beyond that.
So, look, there's just so much to get into with this. But before I actually give you my opinion on this, I think one person who could probably do a better job, you know, making the argument, or did do a better job than I can, is Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie. Jeffrey Lurie spoke on Tuesday after it had been announced that the vote on the tush push was being tabled. And Jeffrey Lurie was asked about it, asked a variation of different questions about it. And here is what Jeffrey had to say to start about the idea of banning the tush push.
Jeffrey, what do you think? What do you think of the tush push bill being moved back to May?
Yeah.
Why do you think people want to ban the tush push?
Well, you know, the tush push. They probably will be discussing it in May, so we have to be prepared for every result. I think for everybody, including myself, especially. Health and safety is the most important thing when evaluating any play. We've been very open to whatever data exists on the tush push, and there's just been no data that shows that it isn't a very, very safe play. If it weren't, we wouldn't be pushing the tush push. But I think it's, first of all, it's a precision play. It's very practiced. We devote a lot of resources to the tush push. We think we have an unusual use of personnel because we have a quarterback that can squat over 600 pounds and an offensive line that's filled with all pro players. And that combination with incredible detailed coaching with Coach Stoutland has created a play we can be very successful at. There's other ways of gaining that half yard, that yard. There's quarterback sneaks, other types. But we've been very, very good at it. It's a play that's available to every other team in the league. And I think it hasn't been used more than five times by almost every team in the league. Buffalo is an exception. And the usage rate has gone down over the last year dramatically in the league. We're still very good at it. We're not as good as we were the year before. We've got to adapt. So I think for all of us that have followed NFL football over the decades, there's an ebb and flow to offense and defense. And typically one of the great things about professional football is that defenses adjust to offenses and offenses adjust to defenses every year. When we won the Super Bowl a few years ago, you know, we really banked on the RPOs and were very, very successful. It didn't take long for defenses to adapt to the RPOs. And if you notice, we weren't as successful and we stopped using it nearly as much. That's, as the passing game becomes more explosive, you see more styles of defense to prevent explosive plays. That opens up the running game, so the value maybe becomes more where there's an effective run game in order to balance against defending explosive pass games. So there's an ebb and flow, and I don't ever remember a play being banned because a single team or a few teams were running it effectively. So it's part of what I think, you know, I personally and I think most of us love about football is it's a chess match. Let the chess match play out. And, you know, if for any reason it does get banned, we will try to be the very best at short yardage situations. And, you know, we've got a lot of ideas there. But I think it's a credit to using our personnel in a way. There aren't that many teams that have 600-pound squat quarterbacks and that offensive line. So anyway, listen, I if it were any injury concern, I would be concerned.
So one big issue with the Tush Push is haters, maybe we just call them that, or the Tush Push critics, is they keep saying there's an injury risk. Is that it's a play they're worried the players will get hurt on. Well, the data doesn't really show that. Something Jeffrey Lurie also pointed out when he was talking about. So here's Jeffrey Lurie talking about the injury risk or lack thereof with the Tush Push.
You said if there's injury concern, you'd be concerned.
I would.
Do they have to show you more than that it's more dangerous than a quarterback sneak in order for you to buy that?
Absolutely. I mean, I want to know what data there is. I don't think there is any. If you want to say that it could be, it's hard to make rules on could-bes and should-bes. You know, the quarterback sneak is one of the reasons we like using the Tush Push is we think it's a safer play than the quarterback sneak. The quarterback sneak, if you talk to quarterbacks about it, there's more spearing going on. They're less protected by players around them. And one of the reasons we got motivated to develop an expertise in this play is it was more protective to the quarterback. And so it's ironic that, you know, people would bring up health and safety. We're at the top of the game in terms of wanting health and safety on every play. We voted for hip drop tackle and defenseless receiver. We will always, always support what is safer for the players. It's a no-brainer. If this is proven to be less safe for the players, we will be against the Tush Push. But until that's the case, to me, there'd be no reason to ban this play.
And then finally, Lurie just on a heater, in my opinion. If someone was in the room, I thought he just absolutely shredded all the Tush Push counterpoints. He was asked about the idea that aesthetically, it's not an appealing play to look at. Here's what Jeffrey Lurie had to say about that.
Rich McKay brought up the aesthetics of the play was part of the dialogue.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to that?
You know what? I remember reading about the forward pass. And they said it really was an odd play that is no part of American football. And so it was controversial when the forward pass came out. I think aestheticism is very subjective. I've never judged whether a play looks okay. Does a screen pass look better than a in route or an out route? I don't know. To me, it's not a very relevant critique that it doesn't look right or something like that. I don't know what looks right. Scoring, we like to win and score.
I mean, just a complete takedown, one by one. The lines, I love the, you know, I remember reading about the forward pass. I love the, you know, the idea that the play isn't aesthetically pleasing. He doesn't consider that relevant. Like, that is an awesome line, too. And here's where I stand with it. We're going to get into the rest of the stuff Jeffrey Lurie had to say on the other side of commercial, on the other side of the commercials, really break down the other stuff that he got into. But here's where I stand on, after spending a few days in Florida, talking to people about the Tush Push. When I arrived in Florida, I thought that the main argument was going to be the medical concern, the injury risk. And when I talked to Sean McDermott and pressed him on it, like, I thought that was the main thing. But after listening to the competition committee and listening to more people talk about it, the competition committee could not be more clear. This is not just about the injury risk. In fact, in my opinion, they even went as far to say that's not even the main thing. They don't like the way this play looks. They just don't like it. They don't like the way it looks. They don't think it's football. They continually call it a rugby play, even though Jordan Mailata, a rugby player, has said it is not a rugby play. And the fact that they continue to say it and the fact they continue to highlight the potential of injury risk really just leads you to one point. Is it's just an opinion they're not going to change their mind on. I can't remember if I said this on a pod earlier this week. It's all starting to blend together. But listening to the competition committee talk about it, listen to Sean McDermott, listening to Sean McVay, it has to be a little bit like what it's like when, you know, like one of your friends, and I'll use me in this example, just has an opinion they're not going to change their mind on. Like, I could tell you 2 + 2 = 5, and you could tell me continually, actually, Elliot, it's 4. If you think about it, you know, 2 = 1, and like 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 = 4, 2 + 2 = 4, 3 + 1 = 4. You could highlight it to me all you want. You could take out little marbles and show me, like, look, here's 2 marbles, here's 2 more marbles, now count them, there's 4 marbles. You could literally make all those points. If these people just don't think that it's an aesthetically pleasing play, there's nothing you can do about it. They're going to just keep saying, nah, 2 + 2 = 5. That is where they're at with the tush push. They're admitting there is no data that supports the potential of injury. And they're saying you can be proactive about it instead of reactive. And I do think that is, like, there is some logic to that. And if that was their main argument, I would not agree with it. And I think it was, you know, somewhat overly cautious, but at least you could say, okay, like, I guess, right? But to just say the debate is whether it's a football play and the debate is whether it's aesthetically pleasing, the pro tush push people, Jeffrey, the Eagles, I'd imagine most people listening to the podcast, Eagles fans, Eagles players, they can make all the points they want. Jeffrey Lurie highlights it. It's a safe play. It is shown to be a safe play. If it wasn't a safe play, we'd vote against it. Like, it's a safe play. And then he highlights, like, yeah, I remember changes in the game. I remember the forward pass. Like, it's not a, we're not voting on prettiest play here. We're voting, the Eagles have found a play that works with their personnel, and the NFL and or the 16 owners who voted against it are trying to take it away simply because they do not like it. Once they remove the facade of health and basically said, hey, don't worry, that's not really the main thing here, then it looks even worse. And for them to continually come out and say, like, it doesn't look good, it's not aesthetically pleasing, like, who cares? Who cares? I would bet my life that if I took 100 plays, 50 regular quarterback sneaks, 50 tush pushes, and I showed someone that was had never seen football before, right? Like, just had never watched American football, and I showed it to him, I don't think they'd be like, that play's ugly, that play's awesome. Like, they would recognize eventually which are the tush pushes because there's someone lined up in the backfield. And that's not normally the case on a quarterback sneak. Or, I mean, sometimes it is. But regardless, like, they look the same. A quarterback sneak does not look much different than a tush push. So this idea that one is aesthetically pleasing and one not is crazy to me. But that's where we're at. And that is what the Eagles are working with. The Eagles are now working with a side that just doesn't, it's just their opinion. It's just their opinion. It's not based on anything. They just don't like it. And that is an incredibly difficult thing to convince somebody of. It's incredibly difficult to change someone's mind when they simply don't like it. It's really all it comes down to. Not a fan of the play. And so over the next month, or I guess 2 months, right? Yeah. April, May. So over the next like 7 weeks, 8 weeks, the Eagles and the 16 other teams will try to convince the other side not to do this. They will try to say, doesn't matter, you don't like it aesthetically. They'll try to point to the injury data. And we'll just see if the other side can get 8 more people to switch. Now, 16-16 is interesting. It does feel like both sides are locked in. And so maybe they won't ban the play. But the fact that the NFL is giving them 7 more weeks to come to a resolution says to me the NFL wants it gone. If the NFL liked it, like Roger Goodell, and, you know, they would say, well, you don't have the votes. It is what it is. You're voting and you're not getting it. Like, that's what they would do. But because they are moving it, they're saying, like, well, go figure out a solution. And, you know, the competition committee brings up how in 2004 and before they had rules about pushing and then they changed that. And now this is the result of the play. It's not an epidemic around the league. It's really just the Eagles. And I think Lurie brings it up in the sound clips I played of, like, not, I think, you know, a handful of teams ran it more than 5 times. It was the Eagles and the Bills. So it's not like around the league this has become a big deal. The Eagles are really good at it. They are targeting the Eagles because they're good at it. And the biggest proof of, like, the biggest proof you can get is it was an issue in 2022. It wasn't an issue in 2023, and now it's about to get banned in 2024. And what is the difference between those 3 seasons? Went to the Super Bowl in 2022, didn't go to the Super Bowl in 2023, went to the Super Bowl in 2024. And I'm not like a conspiracy theorist. I'm not like the NFL's out to get the Eagles. I never subscribe to any of that. I'm never like the announcer hates the Eagles. Like, there's a Philly bias. Like, I don't believe in that. But it's clear. If the Eagles hadn't won the playoff game, do you think they'd be talking about it? If the Eagles didn't make the playoffs, would they be talking about it? If Jalen Carter doesn't sack Matthew Stafford, are they talking about the tush push? No. Well, maybe the Packers are because they lost to the Eagles. But, like, this is where they're at. And Jeffrey Lurie, one of the more powerful owners in the sports, laid out the perfect case as to why it shouldn't be banned. I don't think it's going to work, but we will find out. So the tush push lives on. It was not decision day on Tuesday. Certainly felt like it was going to be. But this is where we're at. And if you're tired of hearing about the tush push, welcome to the offseason. So on the other side, Jeffrey Lurie did talk about a number of different things. So I'm going to get into all of those things. We have the Jeffrey Lurie press conference in the podcast feed. So go and listen to the whole thing. I think Jeffrey, you know, is always good to listen to. It's important if you're an Eagles fan to hear everything the owner has to say. So you can go listen to it. But I'm just going to give you my takeaways from what Jeffrey had to say on the other side. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our
nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sponsors. So, Jeffrey Lurie spoke to the media on Tuesday, and in addition to the tush push, he got into a number of different topics. And look, when you win the Super Bowl, the topics are a lot more fun to talk about than most years. I remember last year, why didn't you fire Nick? There have been owner meetings where Jeffrey, it's not been fun to talk about, right? Handing the team to Chip Kelly, firing Chip Kelly, removing Howie, firing Doug. Like, but when you win the Super Bowl, it's pretty fun topic. So mostly, I will say, and I'll just start with this one, actually. Jeffrey Lurie made his kind of his argument as to why the Eagles could be the best football team of all time. And what's funny is he kind of hinted at it earlier. There was a question about, like, you guys have lost a lot of talent. And he made the point, well, we might have been the best team of all time, so it's going to be hard to be that again. He backtracked a little bit, but Jeffrey was feeling himself. He was feeling good. Here's what Jeffrey had to say about the Eagles potentially being the best team of all time.
He said, That this team might be the best in football history.
No, I didn't say that. What I'm saying is it was a damn good team.
But I imagine that's not something you thought on a win. What made you feel that way?
You know what? It just roster-wise, incredibly capable, very well coached, all sides of the ball. Really, it's hard to pinpoint a weakness. And then the way it dominated the championship game and the Super Bowl. There's been some other teams. It's right up there, I think, with those teams. That's something for you guys and everyone else to decide, not me. It's just, you know, we just experienced, a major win against Washington and a major win against the Chiefs. And so those were not close games.
Look, when you win the championship game in the Super Bowl the way the Eagles did, when you finish 16-1, when you almost, you know, you set the record for most rushing yards in a complete season, when you have the number one defense, it's a good argument for it. I don't know if the Eagles would beat every team that there ever was, but the Eagles were certainly clicking at a high level and playing really well. So Jeffrey Lurie, you know, he talked about how every day since the parade, they're trying to figure out how to win a third Super Bowl. So it was a victory lap press conference from Jeffrey Lurie for sure. But next up, Jeffrey Lurie talked about the cash spending. And, you know, I'm not going to play all the sound clips for you, actually, because as I said, like, you've already heard them if they're in the feed. But Jeffrey Lurie on the cash spending. So there's been a perception this year, this offseason, that maybe Jeffrey Lurie is not spending as much as he normally does. And part of the reason that for that perception is because the Eagles are planning for the future. They're planning for paying Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, N'Kobe Dean, Jalix Hunt. You know, it goes on and on. Reed Blankenship, Cam Jurgens, right? So they are planning for the future. And so Jeffrey Lurie did did talk about the fact that, you know, and he said pretty clearly, the lack of spending this offseason is not a result of a lack of spending cash. This is a strategy. They paid a lot of their guys early, like AJ, Devontae, and Landon, and they're going to pay a lot of their guys next offseason. The best way I can put it is I just believe them. Like, I think certain people get the benefit of the doubt and certain people don't. And Jeffrey Lurie, I think, has earned the benefit of the doubt. The numbers speak for themselves. He has been one of the biggest spenders in the NFL over the past few seasons, but certainly over the past few seasons. So he puts his money where his mouth is, like, and he said, you know, it's the only way I know. So I do believe this is mostly about seeing if they can get away with the young players playing, hoping they develop into cheap starters over a few seasons. And if not, they will trade to go get somebody. But yeah, I don't think Jeffrey Lurie has all of a sudden decided to be a cheap owner. All right, next up, Jeffrey Lurie did talk about Nick Sirianni and his contract. And, you know, Nick talked about it on Tuesday morning. It was basically like, I'm sure it'll take care of itself. Jeffrey talked about it and highlighted how, you know, Nick's going to be the head coach for a long time. I think it's pretty clear. Nick is going to get a contract extension. And it's likely, I shouldn't say likely. It will be in place, I would guess, before training camp or right around training camp. Like, he'll get a contract extension. Now, what takes so long? I think they're just focused on other things. I don't think this is some type of holdup in the negotiations. I think it's a pretty easy negotiation. Nick will get X amount of years. He'll get X amount of dollars. And maybe he gets a little more dollars over 4 years, or maybe he takes a little less over five. Like, that'll be the negotiation. But yeah, Nick's going to get a contract. And obviously it matters. But at the same time, like, Nick's going to be the coach next year, obviously. And it would have to be such an unmitigated disaster for Nick not to be the coach the following season. So Nick has really bought himself two more years, I would say, with that Super Bowl. I mean, you saw in 2017, Doug got 18, 19, three more after that. So, and it really had to bottom out. And he didn't fire Doug in season. So, you know, Jeffrey can sit here and say, I'll give you 4 years on top of it. And then that means with the two, Jeffrey has 3 years left. Like, there are some negotiations to be made there. But Nick Sirianni is going to get paid and he is going to get an extension. So we'll keep talking about it. It'll eventually get announced and it'll be cool. But it doesn't have cap space ramifications. It doesn't impact anything else they do. Like, it's just going to get paid and it's going to happen. But it was good to hear Jeffrey Lurie talk about the fact that more or less it is going to happen. Next up, so Jeffrey did talk about what he learned from 2017, winning the Super Bowl in 2017, and then obviously in 2018, 2019, 2020 were pretty disappointing years. And 2021 was the start of the rebuild and the come up, but like, those were three disappointing years. And one thing he mentioned was kind of how they probably didn't plan for the future well enough. And I think they went all in trying to win in 2018, and clearly that didn't work. And obviously Carson coming back and not playing well is a big deal. But I think that, you know, he mentioned that the team is younger than it was before and that they're better set up for the future. Again, the guys that they're going to have to pay in the future, but let's just look how young they are. Like, Jalen's young. Jalen Carter is young. Nolan Smith is young. Jalix Hunt is young. AJ and Devontae are in their primes. Like, the offensive line, Landon, Cam, Lane, obviously not in his prime. A lot of maybe a little past his prime, but regardless, still like at least 3 years left, I would think, as a high level player. Reed Blankenship entering his prime, like Zach Bond, at least I would say two more years of great play, you would hope. Like, they are better set up for the long run. And I think the tough thing is, when it's incredibly difficult to repeat the next year, you kind of do have to have your eyes on 2027 if you're the Eagles. Like, it is really hard to win back-to-back. And no team's won three times, obviously, as the Chiefs just found out. So I just think the Eagles are viewing this is the next set of Eagles. The 2024 Eagles, like, that's in the books. Now we're trying to build for the future with this team while being good enough to also win. So I thought it was interesting points from Jeffrey on that. And then finally, Jeffrey Lurie was asked about going to the White House. I asked him about the difference from 2017 to now, and he said special circumstances in 2017. He went on to say that he's not politicizing it, that players will have a decision to go. Those that do go, he thinks will have a fun time. He said it's an easy decision to try to go. Growing up, you always see the teams that win the Super Bowl go to the White House. So he framed it as not a political thing. He was asked about whether it's viewed as like endorsing the president, and he essentially said no. He didn't say the word no, but he did say he's not politicizing it. my opinion on after listening to Jeffrey and, you know, Nick talked about it on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Nick seemed very honored to go and excited to go, is I think it's like a lot of things in politics. If you're listening to this pod, you probably have a political opinion. You probably don't agree with every, I mean, you definitely, I would say, chances are you agree with every political take from someone who listens to this pod is unlikely. You know, maybe me and you have different political views. Like, everyone has different political views. And Jeffrey Lurie is trying to present this as just going to the White House to celebrate it. And the reality is, either you're going to see it as a political thing or you're not. I don't think he's going to please everybody. It does suck for him and the team that both times they've won, they've done it in a very, hypersensitive political time. Like, you know, obviously I don't really follow politics growing up, but like, teams always used to go to the White House. It was never even a question. Only really now has it become a thing of like, are you going to go? So Jeffrey presented it as very excited. I will say, like, if you remove the politics of it, I'm sure it sucks for Jeffrey that in 2017 he couldn't go. And now he got a second one. He never knew if he would get a first one, let alone a second one. And now once again, it's kind of a highly political time. So ultimately, it is what it is. The Eagles are going to go. And everyone has the right to view it the way they want to view it. And my opinion on it's not going to change you if you're against it or if you're for it, either or whatever. But Jeffrey Lurie presented it as not a political thing. So that will do it from Florida for the NFL annual meetings. Thank you guys so much. You've listened to the pods over the last few days. Can't wait to get back to Philly. Can't wait to get back in the studio with James and talk about everything that's happened over the last few days. So go out, enjoy your Wednesday. And until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.